Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's the Football History Rewind, part number 46, and the 1921 football rules are still our subject as the offensive line before the snap. The rules in that day set the fundamentals for today's game. We have this story and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And also, welcome to part number 46 of the Football History Rewind series as we go through football year by year. And we're still in the year of 1921 because it was such an exciting year with so much happening in there. And football in 1921 had quite a few different rules and regulations that the rules in the 21st century were really based on. This series has discussed many of them in the past few editions, but now we're going to take it a step further. This article will delve deep into Spalding's official football guidebook of 1921 and bring the actual sketches from its bindings to life once more to demonstrate another aspect of the game in the early 1920s. The reader should remember that even though the guide represents the NCAA rules of the time, these were the same rules that most high schools and even the professional ranks used as well during this era. They are the foundational rules of the game created for football's breeding ground, collegiate football. Yeah, the NFL wasn't really in existence yet in 1921, but they were as the APFA in 1920 and 1921. It became the NFL right before the 1922 season. Now, first of all, there was the positioning at the snap. We have a figure number 1, 2, and 3 up on pigskindispatch.com for this Football History Rewind, part number 46. It shows three frames of what is legal and illegal for 1921 in the way that the ball was positioned in regards to the ground before the snap. Notice that the ball had to lay flat on its long axis in regards to the ground, and it had to be positioned just as it would sit naturally on a turf, as if no one was supporting it. Unlike today, where our centers can tip the ball so maybe one point is pointing up 45 degrees from the ground. No, this had to be a level plane, point to point, parallel to the ground. The ends of the ball had to be perpendicular to the line of scrimmage. Now, box in figure one, label number one, shows that the legal ball position would be, what it would be like. And number two and three were examples of what not to do prior to the ball being snapped. And they show the ball being, set up on its point, and another one where it's being set 45 degrees, both of which would probably be okay in today's game. Also notice how the quarterback is down on the ground. He's almost getting ready to take this ball, almost like the center, the snapper back was going to roll it to him. Doesn't have the hands right up into the backside of the center to take the snap up there. He's crouched down even lower than the center is to take the ball. So very interesting positioning indeed for what is shown here on these figures. Now, we also, it's interesting to look at the sketches a little bit deeper for referencing the rule on ball positioning prior to the snap, but also get a glimpse into the past. The first thing a modern football person would notice is the gear of the players of that era. This aspect of the sketches should not be a surprise to anyone who reads the series or ones written prior, because it's fairly common knowledge that, for instance, the players did not wear helmets of any type in football in 1921. The rules of the NFHS are a bit more lax than the NCAA rules of 1921 in respect to this aspect of football. Today's rules would allow figure one and three in regards to the ball's position, as we talked about. An item that is somewhat new to us is how the quarterback is positioned to receive that ball from center. It's very interesting how he's taking that. Now, the line at positioning of the snap represents sketches in figures 1, 2, and 3 in regards to that legal and illegal lineman positioning at the snap. Now, the rule back then said illegal position of a player supposed to be on the line of scrimmage. The player in the foreground may be said to have both hands or 1 foot and the opposite hand up to or within 1 foot of the line of scrimmage, but he has taken a position that will enable him to more rapidly get into interference, and it's therefore violating the spirit of the rule. So they did not want to have that interference, and blocking was sort of not blocking like it is today. The players on each side of the snapper may lock legs with the snapper, but any other A lineman must have each foot outside the closest foot of the player next to him at the snap. So they had interlocked legs on the line of scrimmage, and they had to face their opponent's goal line with the shoulders approximately parallel to their head and feet breaking the imaginary plane drawn to the line of scrimmage at the waist of snapper. Now, the wording of 1921's rules and those common to this era may be a little bit different, but the basic rules of how lineman is to properly set himself and remain the same over the span of 8 to 10 decades with each rule book that was written. This has shown what is illegal and what is legal in 1921, and basically, they're illegal today. So really, the rules have not changed much, but the players and what they look like and the gear that they're wearing and the strategies are so much different. So this is just another example of how the more things change, the more they stay the same. But 1921 really adopted some really fundamental basic rules that we use in today's game of gridiron football in America. So thank you for joining us for this little bit of history. Tune back tomorrow for some more great history as we talk about it each and every day here on the Pigskin Dispatch. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.